Your money, your estate plan, your retirement. Securing Arizona's future one family at a time. This is The Word on Wealth. Intelligent financial talk you can have faith in. With your host, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates, John Dombrowski. Send your questions to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. Now, here's John.
And welcome to The Word on Wealth. I'm John Dombrowski, going to be with you here for the next hour, talking some financial talk, financial issues facing all of us. And as always, I love it when you have questions for me, anything financial, possibly IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, Roth IRAs, insurance, real estate or estate planning, whatever on your mind. Could shoot me an email to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. And when we're talking about these important financial issues, I like to take the fun approach to the serious matter of your money. And welcome. Thanks for joining us as always. I appreciate you taking time out of your morning. We've got lots to talk about today. We had a wild ride in the markets this past week. We had stimulus, which was signed by the president. We also had a good jobs report. A couple of companies reporting, some new IPOs out there. The markets are performing fairly well after the process we saw of the deteriorating markets over the past couple of weeks as interest rates were rising. So, got lots to tackle. Again, I always encourage you to check out our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We've got some great information there. You can sign up for our weekly economic update on the website. And you can also request an appointment right on the website as well. There's a video there that you can watch that'll give you a little bit of insight as to who we are as a financial planning firm. So lots to look at on the website. I know a lot of people don't necessarily like to poke too much around the websites. I'm one of them. But if you do need to get a hold of us or you want to reach out to me in some fashion, you can do that by going to the website or you can call our Scottsdale office directly of Grand Canyon Planning, and that number is 480-991-1055. And for those of you out of the area, 1-866-991-4272. All right, so if you look back at what the markets did a couple weeks ago, what a turnaround we saw this week. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but I do want to get to our weekly tip. As I mentioned, if you sign up for our weekly economic update, right there, we have a variety of different pieces of information on that report. It gets dropped into your email box each and every Monday. And the nice thing about it is it's just very easy to understand, very easy to read through, and just to give you a snapshot of what occurred over the past week with the economy and with the markets and with financial news, along with some of the economic news that we would see on a weekly basis as well. So it's just a nice little synopsis of what happened over the past week. And we did see this past week that the markets improved dramatically. Now, why? Well, a couple weeks ago, we started to see interest rates climbing, and that gave Wall Street a lot of jitters. And if you watch your accounts on a regular basis, daily as an example, you probably saw a big dip in your values over the past couple of weeks, and it probably made you a bit nervous. Maybe you were one of the smart ones, and you just said, all right, I'm not going to look at it anymore, and I'm just going to allow the market to do what it does, which is it goes up and down. It's a living, breathing kind of a thing, the stock market. And I know that I'm not going to be retiring for another 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years, and I am not going to worry about what's going on at any given one moment in time. And if that was your thought process, well, then if you did open your accounts at the end of this week, you probably would have felt a little bit better. We did see a nice recovery, and not only in this rotation that we've been talking about, which is maybe, investors moving out of some of the high flying tech stocks in the NASDAQ and moving over into maybe more value or cyclical type of holdings. But we did see a nice recovery in the NASDAQ as well this week. So we saw a winning kind of posture across all sectors of the market and also on all of the major indexes through technology, through the industrials, through the small caps and the mid caps. And the S&P 500. So it was a very nice broad rally. And ultimately what occurred, it looks like many believe that probably a lot of the stocks were beaten up more than they should have been, number one. And for longtime investors, this is an opportunity to buy. But also, interest rates seem to have somewhat settled back down again. Now, is it very possible that we could see interest rates begin to spike again? Of course. And if it does, we're probably going to see more volatility along the way. But at least for now, the markets seem to have calmed a bit and are feeling a little bit more comfortable, even though interest rates are higher than where they were over the past couple of months, which is good. So now the market will start to settle in on this, possibly as that 1.5% to 1.6% on the 10-year Treasury as some type of a base. Now, also, we had jobless claims come in, and we did see that it was a better-than-expected number. So that was great. We saw an expectation for 725,000 that we would have thought would have been unemployment jobless claims, but no, we had 712,000 for the week ending March 6th. So this was a positive, more people getting back to work. And then on the other side of it, on Thursday, of course, it was a battle back and forth over the past couple of weeks between the House and then the Senate, who did their markups on the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill, getting it back to the Senate for final approval and then pushing it over to the president. President Biden did sign the bill into law, and that was on Thursday. So now we're seeing stimulus checks immediately are going to be going out to those who will qualify, and that amount is $1,400. One of the things I talked about, I think it was over the past week or so, which was a study that was done for those who would be receiving the stimulus check. And they did it between a range of, I believe it was 18 up to 55. And for those 18 to, say, 25-year-olds, interesting, they asked how they were going to be spending their $1,400. And those in that category, basically about 30% of them said they were going to be investing it in the stock market. Well, how nice is that to have someone at that age be thinking about investing money for the long term and for their financial future? Very nice. And then those in the 25 to 35 range, well, it was even higher. It was about 40% that they were going to be putting into the market. And as we got a little bit older, we started to see the percentage that would be invested a little bit less. And that would be most likely normal, right? The older we are, we have a little more responsibility. Maybe we're in that phase of raising a family and we've got additional expenses that we have. And then as we got into the retirement phase, again, it phased off a little bit even more. So, but it was interesting to see that report that what people would be doing with their $1,400, because I think a lot of people expected, or the government expects, they want people to be out spending this money, right? And they want people to be out boosting the economy. And that's ultimately what this was for. But it's good to see that as well. Now, each week on our weekly economic update, we have our weekly tip. This week's tip is avoiding tapping into your retirement accounts to help pay for college costs for a child or grandchild. I talk about this a lot with my clients. They ask, well, is it okay to tap into my retirement account or borrow money from my retirement account to pay for education for my children? And I usually have to ask that tough question. Well, you know, you've got your own retirement that you need to be concerned about. And how important is that versus maybe your child being able to qualify for some type of a grant or some type of a loan possibly? Or maybe they're going to get a scholarship. So hopefully you can have children who can certainly work hard and get a scholarship. That'd be even better, right? So encourage your children to make sure that they're doing well in school if they are considering going into a higher education program so that hopefully they can get some type of grant or additional funds through a scholarship. That would be great. Now, this week's riddle, also on our weekly economic update, or I should say last week. Let's cover that first. Last week's riddle was, I have a thumb and four fingers, but I am not a hand. What am I? Well, that was pretty easy, right? For those of you out there who like riddles, that is a glove. So I'm sure many of you got that one. But this one might, maybe this is a little more difficult. What flies around but never goes anywhere? That's this week's riddle. What flies around but never goes anywhere? If you want the answer to that, well, you're going to get that dropped in your email box each and every week on Monday if you sign up for our weekly economic update. And you could do that by going to our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. And right there on the website, we have a way for you to sign up for that weekly economic update. All right, boy, that was a lot of talking, and we've got lots more to come today. And next segment, I've got Chris Lutzel, one of our advisors, and we're going to talk about something that occurred this week in our company with one of our clients that I think really is important for us to talk about. And the reason is because we never know what's around the corner when it comes to what can occur, right? There could be an untimely death or an illness that can affect the family. And we just want to make sure that we're prepared for when that comes. And then we're going to be talking with estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz. We've got some tax talk with Darren Sigrist. So stay with us for the full hour. We'll be back after this short break. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. And we're back, John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. As always, I encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity to sit down and talk with me and discuss what you're doing to plan for your financial future. You can do that by going to our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com, and requesting an appointment right there, or call our Scottsdale office directly at 480-991-1055. Lots going on this past week in the markets, and we're going to get to some of those things throughout the show. One of the things I do want to talk about, and it has been something that we've discussed many times over the years and years we've been doing the show here, The Word on Wealth, and that is beneficiary designations. And I want to talk with Chris Lutzel, one of our advisors here at the firm Grand Canyon Planning. Chris, good morning. How are you today?
I'm just well. How are you, John?
You're just well?
Just well.
What? Now, come on. You got to give me something more than that. What does that mean, just well?
Just well means it was a hard week.
Yeah, tough week, huh?
Yeah, tough week, and glad to be here, as always.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited to talk about what we're going to talk about, but right. You know, there's emotion.
It's hard to talk
there's
about.
There's emotion that goes along with it, John.
You know, Chris, you and I and our firm in general, one of the things that we, of course, like to make sure occurs with our clients is that avoiding probate. That's mm-hmm. that's a big issue, right? We do estate planning here. We have estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz on the show often. We're talking about estate planning and how important it is. One of the biggest benefits of an estate plan is that you can avoid probate, which can be a real challenge for those who are left behind to pick up the pieces if someone does not properly plan their estate to transfer upon their demise, right? Even if they just want to plan their estate for an incapacity as well.
Correct.
Jonathan would attest to that. But and I'm not going to get into the legalities of things. I'm not an attorney. But with the financial accounts that we establish for clients, whether it's an investment portfolio, whether it's a retirement account, an IRA, a 401k, whether it's life insurance or it's an annuity, any type of asset that someone has is considered part of their estate. And what we want to make sure is when we establish these accounts is that the individuals set them up in a way that will be a simple transfer upon their passing to who they want to get this account, right, Chris? Mm-hmm. And it could be multiple people. It could be one person. It could be a spouse for this account. It could be children for that account. It could be whoever you want, but it's important that you list not only a primary, but an alternate or secondary beneficiary. So let's talk a little bit about this, Chris. And I want to go into how important it is, because this past week was a difficult week, as you mentioned, for some clients of the firm that you were helping. And let's talk a little bit about the unfortunate circumstances that led up to what ultimately happened this past week.
Yeah, so recently, a husband and wife, one of the spouses passed away unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm. Young.
Young, yes. Yeah. And at the same time, the other spouse, due to some major health reasons, was hospitalized, not doing well at all, and they had no documents in place.
Mm-hmm.
That was certainly a concern. And, you know, I'm going to pat ourselves on the back, John. We jumped to it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that we could do about the deceased spouse, but we made it happen in regards to getting the legal documents for the other spouse that was in bad failing health.
Right. To get that in place so that they could have some protection.
Guardianship, conservatorship for the children, getting the home in the name of the trust, the vehicles being prepared to put into the trust, et cetera. And certainly part of the discovery, the conversations, IRAs, 401ks, life insurance. They had three young children. But what happened was essentially we lost the second spouse this past week.
Yeah.
And not everything was done that needed to be done. Oftentimes, even when we're sitting talking with clients, we'll ask them on IRAs, annuities, life insurance, well, who's the beneficiary? To the point that it's become an OCD issue for me.
Sure, for us.
Where people look, you know, they look at us like, what does it matter?
How many times are you going to ask me this? Yeah.
Every year when we meet. That's what we're going to do. But, you know, and but, oh, the husband is for the wife on her 401k and he's on her 401ks, et cetera, but nobody's thinking in a 5-week period that we are going to lose both spouses.
Who would ever imagine?
Who would think it?
Right. And it's, you wouldn't think you need to plan for that, exactly, but here's why it's so critical and important to plan for the unknown.
And the clients that listen out there, when they're meeting with me, I'll ask them oftentimes, did you drive here to the office together?
Together,
and
right.
then it hit the light bulb goes on, John.
Right, right. Sure.
And then it's, oh yeah, we better have backups.
Sure.
But we did not have backups on the life insurance policies. And we had
We just didn't have time.
We didn't have time
to get it done.
And he was not capable after because of his failing health.
And let me just say, Chris, let me just back up a bit. These were brand new clients to our firm.
Correct.
So all these accounts that were established before they came to our firm.
Correct.
And I'll tell a little bit of a story too after you're finished here, Chris. But so we were in the process of helping, I guess, fix the things that were never done properly from the beginning before they came to our firm, but unfortunately just didn't have enough time.
Yeah. And so now we have the grandparent coming in with and only allowed so much information.
Sure.
So we had this past week, I probably spent 2 hours on the phone with grandpa trying to find out anything we can, and all it is, well, if there is life insurance, we will mail a packet out. We will mail a packet out. And meantime, we were trying to get the packet of information ASAP, run out to the other spouse to have him sign to make the trust the beneficiary that we had just created, et cetera, John.
Yeah, and just didn't have time.
Just did not have time. Yeah. And so it was a hard, hard week. And, you know, we're financial advisors and we're state people, John, but we're also human too.
Yeah,
and it hurt this week. It's a tough thing
to have to see someone in a family like that go through this. But that's why it's what we do is so critical for people. And it's when we get these things done for people, it makes them feel better. Mm-hmm. It makes us feel good. Mm-hmm. Makes us feel like our all of our hard work is really worth it. And you know, again, if you have any financial accounts, whether it's a bank account, an investment account, a brokerage account, as it would be, or an annuity or a life insurance policy or an IRA, a 401k, 403b, profit sharing plan, whatever asset you have, house, whatever asset you have, it is critical that you know the nature of how the account is titled and then what's going to happen if you either become incapacitated or upon your passing, what will occur with that account. You have all the control to make sure that it goes where you want it to go. And you have the right people appointed if you take the necessary steps to put those actions in place.
Backups. Yeah. Backup contingent beneficiaries.
Backup trustees, executors,
exactly
and so forth.
Two and three backups, if necessary, contingent beneficiaries, et cetera.
So I encourage you out there, if you haven't done all this yet and you want to sit down with a firm that can help you, walk you through all of this and make sure that you have everything properly in place, please reach out to us. Again, our firm, Grand Canyon Planning Associates, and we're in Scottsdale. Our phone number is 480-991-1055, or you can go to the website. That's GrandCanyonPlanning.com. Request an appointment there as well. And Chris, you know, I had a similar scenario come in. A couple people came in this week with me, and they just came in for a review. They had never been into our firm before. They just wanted to know, hey, can you take a look at what we've already done with our financial assets and let us know if we're on the right track? And we did that. We did a review. And what I found is there were life insurance policies and retirement accounts that did not have secondary beneficiaries. So it was an exact scenario that you're talking about. But you know, the nice thing is both of the spouses were here. We were able to get that fixed. And I was able to give them the direction as to what they need to do to make sure that these things get taken care of. And then talked about the estate planning and establishing a trust as well. So when you've got the time to do this, it's important that you do get it done. And the nice thing is we can make it simple. Chris, we've been doing this for 30 years, mm-hmm. you know, so it doesn't have to be a cumbersome, difficult thing. We'll get you through it. We'll help you walk through this and get these things done in place for you.
There's no superstition where I have clients, John, well, if I do the documents, then I'm going to die. No, it doesn't work like that.
No.
But get them done, and I assure you that you will feel relieved, that you'll have somebody else that can speak for you. There's a voice for you if you don't have the voice.
Right. And that's critical. You're exactly right, Chris. Now, this is, again, whether you're incapacitated or upon your passing, you'll have something in place. Hey, Chris, I did also see here that, you know, the markets had a you know, bad couple of weeks, mm-hmm. the past weeks, but we have seen a nice recovery here. We saw the Treasury auctions that occurred over this past week, which went fairly benign, which was good. We didn't see another spike in rates, which a lot of people were concerned about. And there we then saw the markets have a nice rebound. And I encourage people again, as always, I know we're going to have volatility in the markets. We see these things happen once or twice a year where we have these big moves, whether up or down.
Especially in the tech area. Because it runs up hard and it has to take a break.
And it could be scary. But with that being said, we don't want to make rash decisions and invest emotionally. Please, if you need help with these things, that's what we do for clients each and every day. Chris Letzel with our firm here, Grand Canyon Planning. Thanks so much, Chris, for being with us and telling us and sharing that story. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. Stay with us. We've got a lot more to talk about here. I've got Darren Sigrist joining us here shortly, and then estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz. We'll be right back. All right, John Dombrowski, this is The Word on Wealth. As always, man, it's great to have you on board with us, and I hope that you're having a great Saturday. It's a beautiful day out there. We've seen some weather moving into the north, and, well, it's been a crazy, bit of weather we've seen across the country. We're back. I think Texas is back on track again, though, not being frozen again.
It's thawing out.
It's been crazy. Hey, I've got Darren Sigrist with me on this segment. Darren, of course, a CPA here in Scottsdale. Darren, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Great. I love having you, Darren, here. Here we are in the height of tax season for those out there who are still working on their taxes. I did talk to someone this past week that said they had their taxes done, and I was like, wow, congratulations. I wish I was that level of ability to get my taxes done that early, but it seems like it's always into the early stages of April. But I do get them done. I think I'm pretty good about it.
You
get
do
them
a great
done before
job.
April 15th, and that's thanks to you, Darren, of course. Darren, of course, with Sigrist, Cheek, Potter, and Heiser, and they are a CPA firm here in Scottsdale. And again, if you haven't negotiated all of your paperwork and brought it into your tax preparer yet, Darren, what is your number that they can reach out to you at again?
It's 480-730-1569.
Okay, so you can reach out to Darren, and his website is azcpas.com.
That's right.
azcpas.com. Darren, there's a couple things I want to touch on here for our clients and for the people listening out in the audience, which is two things, actually. A lot of people got their stimulus checks, and they're wondering, hey, is that taxable, or what do I have to do when it comes to my stimulus check?
And it seems like we're getting into that never-ending stream of stimulus payments at this point.
Of course, you got those collecting unemployment. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago as well, that those unemployment benefits are included in your income for tax purposes. But what about the stimulus check?
You know, we have layers of stimulus now.
Right.
So basically where we're at is, stimulus payments came out in about the middle of the year, right after the pandemic got rolling, and
right.
It was a welcome relief to a lot of people. But it was based on a couple different things. Some people had already filed their 2019 returns. Some of them were based on 2018 returns because they hadn't filed their 2019 returns. So the numbers were all over the place. And as everybody knows, your income fluctuates from year to year. And the way the government always does things is they basically means test any types of stimulus payments. Okay. So if your income may have been too high in 2018 to receive a stimulus payment, that's what you hadn't filed your 2019 return yet, you may have gotten a partial payment or you may have gotten the whole payment.
Okay.
And then what it's truly based on your stimulus payment is your 2020 taxable income and your 2020 tax return
right
income. So they came up, the government came up with a form this year to be filed with your 2020 return. So you need to have your stimulus payment amount that you got on the first stimulus payment in mid-year 2020, as well as the one that you got in 2021,
right.
Because the second stimulus payment came after year end.
Yeah, yeah.
You're doing your 2020 return. You still need to put that on the form.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens with that? A lot of people are saying, okay, is that taxable income? Am I going to be taxed on that amount? The answer is no. What the government's intention is they want to make sure that they true up the payment. So if you didn't get enough of a payment based on your 2020 income stream, you're going to get an additional amount to true up that amount with a refund.
Interesting. Yeah.
If you got too much, are you going to have to pay it back? The answer is no. Are you going to get taxed on it? The answer is no.
Oh.
If you got too much,
congratulations.
Move on.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what's interesting too, Darren, is I found there was a study that was done here. I don't have it in front of me, but I just want to talk about it because we're talking about the stimulus checks. Now, the new stimulus check, which was now people are going to be expecting as much as $1,400,
right.
That check, actually, they did a survey of individuals between the ages of 18 and I think it was 55. And they talked about these different segments of those age groups, about what they were going to do with the stimulus check. And what was interesting to hear is the ages of, say, 18 to 24, they talked about they would be investing maybe 30% of that money into the stock market.
Hmm.
Think about that.
Interesting.
Wouldn't it be nice to have an 18-year-old that's thinking about investing for their financial future? Wow, what a novel idea. And then we had those ages, you know, from that 25 age to maybe 34, they said they were going to put maybe 40% of that money into the market. So, and then of course you had the ages that began to be a little bit older, a little bit more maybe responsibility in life, a little bit more of expenses maybe that they've, you know, have in life. And the numbers started to drop as the ages increased, which was interesting. So, but that sweet spot was in that 25 to 35 range, right, where they were going to be putting in a more substantial amount of that stimulus check into the stock market. I think the idea of, you know, giving the stimulus was, is, you know, the government wants us to go out and buy stuff.
Right.
They want us to spend that money, stimulate the economy. And but there's others out there maybe have a different idea for that money. You know, kudos to them. I think that's an interesting that was an interesting survey. I was glad that I got to see that. And it was a little eye opening for me. And I hope for the listeners out there and for reasons, I think for you out there, folks, if you've got children, if you've got, you know, teenagers, maybe get them involved in thinking about saving, how you can be budgeting for yourself in the future and saving. Because you know what? They don't teach that in school, Darren.
No, they don't. And it's such an important lesson to learn.
And I know you've got a couple of boys yourself, and they've been great stewards with the knowledge that they've received from you, and they've taken the ball and run with it, which is great. And I'm sure you're very proud of that.
I am. And the way they've done it is because, you know, they had the tools to do that early in life.
Right.
If you can learn from it, even if you make mistakes with it,
mm-hmm.
on budgeting your money, on what you're spending it on versus what you're saving it on, allocate some to charitable giving. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just you can teach people a lot of lessons. And it's a lot of lessons that people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s they never learn.
They still need to learn.
They need to learn.
You know, also, Darren, I would say for those out there who have a family business, how important it would be to get your children involved in that business as early as possible. I know with me, I thought it was a great, when I look back on my life, what a great experience it was for me, my dad owning a business. It was a music store that my dad owned. So you think, well, what does that have to do with what I do today, financial planning? Well, it has a lot to do with the person who I became because of the time I spent in the family business, meeting people, talking to people at a young age, and growing up in an environment where my dad was a business owner. And, you know, sometimes things weren't all the best some years, and some years we had good years. But we learned from that and what it takes to have responsibility and to show up for work and to be able to get a wage. My dad, I started at a quarter an hour. I remember when I was just a child, my dad said, if you show up here at the store after school, I'll pay you 25 cents an hour. Even if you're sitting here just doing your homework, you know, you're here and I'll pay you 25 cents an hour. And then, of course, that over time graduated until once I worked at the family business full time. It was a different story, but so that was a great experience for me. And I would encourage those out there who have a family business to please take the time, introduce your children to the family business. Maybe you'd be surprised at what they have to offer at some point in the future for you.
Those are invaluable lessons. It's really, really important.
Something about a kiddie tax too. What is was this issue with Darren, where maybe you can make contributions to your younger children? Right, for the retirement in the future.
Well, you can, especially if you're running a small business. You can always put your children on payroll.
Uh-huh.
If they have earned income, then they can contribute to Roth IRAs. They can contribute to traditional IRAs.
Yeah.
With the Roth IRAs, it's a good way to, you know, grow some money tax free that you can be using for college education purposes. So I encourage my clients to put their kids on payroll, find some work for them to do. And, you know, the kiddie tax is on investment income when it reaches a certain level. Once you've got it, $1,500, $2,000 in investment earnings, if that child does, then they're taxed at their parents' rates. But it's certainly a good way for earned income to figure out a way to get your children earned income and invest that into retirement programs.
Yeah, shelter.
And if they don't use it for college funding purposes, boy, think about how much money they'll have in 40 years when they retire.
Yeah, I had someone in this past week who said that to me. Gosh, if I would have only invested a little bit earlier in my life. Fortunately, this person did a great job and still contributing the maximum amount that they can to retirement. But you're right. If we all look back at that and say, only, gosh, I wish I would have done this, wish I would have done that. But you have to also look at the positive sides of things and who you are now as a person and what built that character to get you where you are today. Darren, I had a couple of things I wanted to talk about, but boy, we're running short on time. I guess the only other thing is there was an article about the extension of filing again, but we still haven't heard anything about the government extending the filing tax deadline of April 15th. Nothing yet, right?
Nothing yet. So keep your ears open and let's see where they go with that.
Yeah. So keep working on trying to get your tax documents over to your tax preparer so that you can get all that information.
Plan on filing April 15th.
April 15th. Hey, Darren, I really appreciate it as always.
Thanks for having me.
Darren Segrist of Segrist Cheek Powder and Heiser. As always, if you want to get in touch with Darren, the number again real quick, Darren,
480-730-1569.
All right, I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. We got more to come today, so stick with us, and we'll be right back after this. Check out our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. All right, John Dombrowski, this is The Word on Wealth. As always, appreciate you joining us, taking some time out of your morning to spend with us here on The Word on Wealth. Lots to talk about. As always, I encourage you to go to our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com. And there's right on the website, you can request an appointment. Also, you can just click around, poke around on the website. There's lots to see on there, as well as an introductory video to give you a little insight as to who we are as a financial planning firm. Also, you can sign up for our weekly economic update, which will be dropped into your email box every Monday, giving you a little insight as to what has occurred over the past week with the markets and the economy, and then also what to look forward to for the upcoming week. And so you'll have great information there each and every week in your email box. The other is we from time to time have workshops that we will offer out there. So from our website, you can see those. We've obviously, just like most companies, put a hold on those workshops for a while. But as always, you could shoot me an email as well to dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. and hopefully be able to get back to you on that email with any questions you have, as well as maybe talk about them right here on the show. And I do want to talk a little bit about an email that I did receive here in the moment, but I wanted to bring on one of our resident guests, estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
Good. How are you, John?
Great. Your voice is not crackling. It sounds like you've been up for a few hours. Is that true?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, usually you're a little bit of you a know, secretly, on the weekend, a little late. Later
I may not have gone to bed.
Oh, okay.
And not doing anything fun either.
Right. Just kind of...
I don't know.
Not right? able to sleep.
Sometimes you get older and you have anxiety and a little worry. And yeah. like everyone else the last year, you know, sleep's a little bit harder to come by.
I think they say that, right? You're sleeping like a baby. There must be a reason because babies yes. seem to have no worries and they sleep a lot.
The rest of us wake up 4:30 in the morning and we're like, oh, I forgot to do that.
Why do they say working like a dog, though? I don't know where that phrase don't know came either. From. Because my dogs don't do any work. They're just sleeping no. all day like a baby.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about like a actual working dog, like a herding dog,
dog.
Or a sled dog.
Yeah, that's true. That's right? true, right? Yeah,
like a shepherd.
A hunting dog or whatever, yeah. Or, but you're right, the herding dogs, those herding dogs.
Yeah,
yeah, a husky, oh my gosh.
Really, they
taking
work.
Someone across to the Iditarod or whatever it is, right? Okay, Jonathan, we got lots to talk about. I did get an email here, and the email, I'm going to give you the gist of the email, and this is from Joanne. And Joanne asks, Dear John, I had my parents pass away, and there's a lot of personal effects, and we want to just understand what the nature of the personal items are and how we need to distribute them. So I know you wanted to talk a little bit about personal effects as well as it pertains to a trust. So this is kind of a good question for you right
you
now.
Because you have this situation in which you have your grandpa, so it's Grandpa Brian, and Grandpa Brian says to everyone, like, you'll get this, you'll get that. And so people's memories are always different, right?
Right.
And so you have this one relative who's like, oh, I was supposed to get the map collection.
Right.
But it's not written down anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the map collection is really valuable. Do you see sure, where I'm getting at here?
Of course.
So you have these situations in which we have like, no, I was supposed to get that. Grandpa told me that. Well, that was after a long, grandpa had been on a long day of fishing.
Right.
And he may or may not have been imbibing. So maybe he didn't really mean. And you know, and I say
right.
that tongue in cheek.
Or maybe tongue in cheek.
This,
right.
this is a hypothetical. People sure. are like, that's crazy. But my point is that we have this misinterpretation sometimes. It's like if you play the telephone game, I'll date myself. Everyone that's on that call is going to hear something different.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to have versions of it. So
right.
personal belongings, like some personal belongings that you don't think have any value to your loved ones, they really have value. They're sentimental and they feel like, well, I deserve that.
Right.
When grandpa dies, I deserved his flag because it was promised to me. But hold on a second. What if it wasn't? What if there's someone else who wants it? What if
grandpa thought it should go to someone else?
Yeah. And so my point in all of this is that's avoid any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in reality, if someone passes, it's a tragedy, we're upset, we're not thinking straight, and when money's involved or things of value are involved, people's feelings get hurt very easily.
Sure.
So the whole point of doing estate planning is to try to avoid all of that.
Right.
Like, people are still going to feel those things, but if it's written out and we can't question,
mm-hmm.
for instance, it's a list and it says that John gets all the tools in my garage, right? Michael yeah. receives my flag.
Mm-hmm.
Sean receives the map collection.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Jonathan receives the Waterford crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we don't know what the values are, but the point is those things, by designating that in what we call a personal property memorandum, we're not leaving it to chance for people to fight over your personal effects. Now, right. of course, you can just simply say, like, all my personal, because the default would be all of my personal effects are distributed among my beneficiaries equally.
Right.
And then they have to figure it out. But in these rare instances where you have things of really high value that you want
yeah,
to go to
Jonathan,
certain people, that's listed
yeah.
out.
I mean, you think about it, you know, a couple who are married for 40, 50 years and they have two children, a boy and a girl, right? Now those children are adults. And the mom says, hey, when I pass away, I want my wedding ring to go to my daughter.
That's what I
you
mean.
You know, that's kind of a common scenario.
The father's like, I want my
pocket watch,
my
whatever
Rolex
it is.
That I've had
yeah,
my whole life
Rolex.
That
there
my grandfather gave me to go to my son.
Sure.
And see, I think these are things that we often overlook because we think, oh, they'll figure it out. They know what they're supposed to receive. No, they won't. We need to be specific about this because, unfortunately, people will not think clearly when there's a tragedy, when someone passes.
Just for those certain items
yes.
that you're talking, not everything, the
no.
couch and the TV.
It could
and
be. You could go that route. I mean,
could
I'm
gonna, you imagine?
I'm going to tell you not to. I've had people.
Yeah.
That's okay. You could go that. You need to do what you feel is comfortable for you.
Right.
But the goal here is to make it very easy on your loved ones to not have a fight.
Yeah.
So if we know for sure there's one item that everyone's going to fight over, let's make a determinative decision about that item.
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No. That's
try to avoid it.
Yeah. Or you know, if you really think there's going to be issues, you could always just say everything's to be sold, and then the
yes.
money's to be divided.
And here's the thing that I like about this too. Right. while you're alive, that's all your stuff. Mm-hmm. So just because you have this designation doesn't mean you have to give it to them. If you want to sell it before then, oh well.
Yeah. Hey, Jonathan, I think that we've kind of covered that. And I think that's a good bit of advice that you're giving to the folks out there. Another thing that I recently came across was someone said to me, well, you know what? I've got four children, but I don't want to just give all the money to all four of them. I'm just going to give it to the one who probably can handle it a little better and give them instructions what to do with the money for the others. This could be a real catastrophe.
It's a horrible idea.
Right.
It's the worst idea I've ever heard.
Right.
Please, no one write in or call in and say that, because I'm not talking to you directly.
Right.
Because we can talk about why you shouldn't do that, specifically in your specific situation.
Right.
But in general, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And I would never recommend that. And here's why. So much stuff can go wrong.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, what if that beneficiary just decides, you know what, it's all mine, because technically it's all theirs.
Right. Or what if they're in the middle of a lawsuit and they receive this big lump sum of money and the lawsuit could be...
I mean, the better thing to do would be to create a situation in which each person has a share in trust, but the trustee has discretion on how to distribute that share. So we can kind of come up the best of both worlds. But the problem in these scenarios is that they just want to... Most people that think about doing something like this, they don't want the specifics laid out because they don't want to deal with the specifics. They just think that this person they've designated will do what they want.
Right.
Right. And I'm telling you, that's an assumption you shouldn't always make, because invariably that doesn't work. I'll give you an example. I'm Johnny Depp, and I think that my financial advisors are managing my money correctly. How long has he been in a lawsuit over that?
Right.
Do you see what I mean?
Sure, sure.
So it's like you think, okay, this person, I'm just going to give them carte blanche.
Right.
And that's kind of what you're doing here. And we all know that that could work, and maybe everything would be fine, or it could go horribly bad.
Yeah.
And we want to avoid it going horribly bad.
And I think that's why you preach so often that, you know, a revocable living trust is a valuable tool when you're planning your estate.
Right. And the better scenario here would be this person that I trust to distribute all of this money, I would list them as the trustee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would put provisions for each of my beneficiaries. And this trustee, we could create scenarios in which this trustee would or would not distribute money.
Right.
Right. We could have one beneficiary that could only use the share set aside for them for education. And they don't receive an education by the age of 35, then that money reverts back to the siblings. Right. I mean, we could do something like that.
Sure. You could be very specific.
And I think that works better. And we can still give this trustee, this person you trust, a lot of discretion. But if we codify it, now there's going to be no issue because we're just asking for legal trouble. We're just asking for one of the beneficiaries to like challenge the scenario.
Mm.
And then for that person who you've given all the control to, just to keep the money.
Yeah.
If we don't have parameters or what's supposed to happen.
All right, Jonathan, that's great. Well, I appreciate the email question from Joanne. As always, I encourage you to take the time if you've got a question and shoot it to me at dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. And we'll try to get to those emails throughout the show. As always, I look forward to those because I think if you've got a question that you're asking, oftentimes it's probably something that other people are thinking about as well. So it makes perfect sense for you to take the time. Shoot that email question to me again to dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. Jonathan, boy, that was a quick segment. Thanks so much for being with us, as always.
Thank you, John.
I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. I'll be back next week. And I once again, I appreciate you tuning in and listening to us. Hopefully you got at least one good tip from today's show. And if you'd like to schedule your own complimentary retirement assessment, well, go to our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com, or call us directly at Grand Canyon Planning, 480-991-1055. Until next time, I'm John Dombrowski reminding you, don't run out of money before you run out of time.
The Word on Wealth with John Dombrowski, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates. Call and schedule your complimentary financial consultation at 480-991-1055. For personalized financial and retirement advice, that's 480-991-1055 or toll free at 1-866-991-4272. Visit us at GrandCanyonPlanning.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities, LLC, member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor. Grand Canyon Planning Associates, LLC, and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated.